thought for today. When I care, it shows. When I care, it shows. When I care, it shows. How many times have you cared? Ho, 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 ho. Good question, isn't it? How many times have you cared? Well, maybe a lot. Maybe not. It just depends on you. How many times have I cared? Let me count the ways that I love you. Let me count the ways that I can see how wonderful you are and how fabulous you are. Well, I'm sorry, Ingeborg. She just had a big yawn there. She was like saying, well, Herb, this is getting boring. When are you going to get to the good part of the story? You know? Well, here comes a good part of the story. When I care, it shows. I have been in many places with many people many times under many circumstances, and each one is totally unique and totally different. But the time that I was thinking about was when I was visiting with this home, and they had five children, just like I had grown up with. But this home was quite different. These people, not that we weren't wealthy too, in our own way we were wealthy, of course, but these people were very, very wealthy. They had so much money, they didn't know what to do. They're not like the old lady who lived in the shoe who had so many children who didn't know what to do. These people had so much money, they didn't know what to do. So everything that came along that came to their attention, that was a toy, they'd buy for their children. And their children had so many toys. They didn't even begin to learn how to use them all. They had motorbikes, they had tricycle bikes, they had scooter bikes. You know, the scooters have little motors on them now. And you just get on the scooter and you turn on the motor and you go scooting down the street. I was in Claremont the other day, and I was having a cup of coffee, sitting in a restaurant, looked out the window, and here this boy came across the street, and he pushed his finger on the thing on his handlebar, and the motor started, and he stood on the motor scooter that is, you know, just a little flat scooter, and sipped along with the motor. He didn't have to push his feet down. What a way to go. I mean, my goodness, what fun they're missing, but what fun they're having. But as I was with this family of five, and I thought, what else could the parents buy these kids that they don't have? And so the mother and father said, okay, kids, we're going to take a vacation. And we're going to go to a desert island all by ourselves. It's just ours alone. You can do anything you want to do. Well, now the kids didn't think farther than the word anything they want to do, and they thought, hey, that's great. And so the family packed up, leaving virtually everything behind, just taking a few necessities and a little food, and they went on their yacht to this desert island. And the crew put them ashore, and the mother said, come back and pick us up in 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. So there they were, mother and dad and five kids on this desert island. Well, the first thing the kids did was take off their clothes because they didn't have to wear clothes, and they just thought, that's cool. And then they got a good sunburn, and that wasn't too cool. And mother said, I told you, put this suntan lotion on. And they began to do as she suggested. Then they ran around and ran around, and they explored everything on the island. There was not another living creature on the island. No snakes, no lizards, no koala bears, no no alligators, nothing at all. And they just had a lot of fun. And they ran up this hill, and they ran down that hill, and they went swimming in the warm lagoon, and they just had a wonderful time. Well, now, after 2 days of this, the kids were saying, I missed my motor scooter. I missed my bike. I missed this. I missed that. Where's my computer? And the mother said, well, we don't have any of those things here. There's no electricity. There's no gas station to get gas for your bikes, and there's nothing here. We just us. But it's no fun, you know. I don't have my toys to play with. And as the days went on, the children began to create things to play with. They would take branches from the tree, and they would float it out into the ocean. They'd call it their boat. And they'd go out with the branches, and they'd bring the branches around and lead them in to shore. And then they began to build a little hut. They thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a little hut? And they took some of the palm branches, and they built a hut. And some of the boys says, that's no good, that'll never work. And the girl says, oh, who cares, it's wonderful to do it. And the boy says, well, we'll build our hut, and you build yours, and see who builds the strongest hut. Well, the boys built a very sturdy hut. It was so sturdy that they had no time to really finish it. They took about 3 days to build the hut. They had the walls up, they had the top and the roof up. And then the boys, in all their pride, went over to the girls and says, come and see our hut. And the girl says, oh, first come and see our hut. And so they walked into this luxurious house that the girls had created, with beautiful waving palm branches to keep the breeze flowing in the hut. Windows with roll-up curtains that they made out of the bamboo things, the fronds and stuff like that. And the boy said, wow! And then they said, but it might fall over. And the girl says, yeah, it could. But we have tied it with a rope that we've made out of bamboo shoots, and over this way, and over this way, and over this way, making it strong. Oh, hey, that's cool. And they even had chairs in there and a table. In fact, Mother was sitting in there with the girls, showing them how to weave and showing them how to make mats and do different things. The boy said, that's no fair. You got Mama to help you. And the girl said, well, you got Daddy to help you. Okay, well, you can come see our house. So the girls went to see the boys' house. They had not peeked before. They didn't care. They were too busy having fun with their own house. And when they saw it, they saw this very masculine-looking place. Spartan is more the word. There was no mats on the floor. There were no chairs, and there were no windows. It was just a door and the four walls, and the ceiling was very solid. No air could circulate through this little hut. It was just a hot little box. And the girl says, well, how can you live in this and be comfortable? It's so hot in here. And, well, we forgot to put windows in. And we forgot to put a fan in. And we forgot to do this. Well, you see, the girls had the idea, I care. And so when they built their hut, it had all of the caring things. It perhaps was not as strong as the boys' hut. A hurricane come along, and the boys' hut may stand, but the girls' hut would go down. But in a couple of days, they'd build a new one. They weren't concerned. They wanted the aesthetics. They cared. And because they cared, the week that they spent longer on the island was a week of pure joy, living in their lovely house, enjoying the mats that they made, just having a good time. The boys, on the other hand, who cared in a different way, but they didn't realize where the comfort of life comes from. And the girls who care with a loving heart, with a gentle heart, had created the comforts. The boys had created the strength of the building they built. Their caring was, should a hurricane come or a big wind come or something like that, they want to make it strong. They want to make it last forever. The girls knew that they were only going to be there another week, and they wanted to enjoy the luxury of their lovely hut. And so they spent most of their time on luxuries, on the good things, and on the enjoyable things. This may come as a surprise to you, but I recommend to you that you consider how long you're planning on staying in this body, how long you're planning on staying in this life experience, how long you're planning on walking this pathway as a human being. Are you going to make a structure in which to live on this pathway that you're walking that will withstand all of the possible earthquakes and winds and storms and what have you? Or are you going to have a beautiful, luxurious place that you can enjoy that will give you all of the comforts and all of the happiness as you go along, making your life a truly delightful thing? You're sitting here knitting. You're making a piece of cloth. Well, now that piece of cloth is totally incapable of doing what a piece of steel can do. A piece of steel can protect you against the wind, it can protect you against the rain, it can protect you against all sorts of things. But it's not very comfortable. But the knitting that you're doing there is very comfortable. You will not be able to wear it forever. It'll wear out. But it'll be comfortable against your skin, not like a piece of steel. It'll be comfortable to lay under and sleep under and feel warm and cozy under. It'll be comfortable, but it does wear out. And when you wash it, sometimes the color runs. And it becomes a many-colored experience instead of just the one several colors you had on each piece you made. But you see, when you care about all the loving little things that you do. Think about the mother. She's going to have a baby. She sits in a rocking chair in the evening after all the work is done in the house, and she doesn't stop. She starts knitting little booties for the baby. She starts knitting a little cap for the baby and gloves. And then if she has more time, she starts knitting a little jacket for the baby. And most of them have had the intelligence not to knit pants for the baby, because the pants will soon be destroyed with the many washings that they'll require. And mommy knows that, even if she has never been a mommy before. You see, when you care about living, when you care, it shows in the way that you live. It shows in the experiences that you have. It shows in the lifestyle that you are experiencing for yourself. It shows how the pets respond to you. It shows how you respond to the pets. It shows how you respond to yourself, mainly. And it shows how you respond to others. Others, your pets included, are your creation. Do you care about your creation because you care about them? Or do you care about them because they are animals or humans and they have to be taken care of? Do you care about anything outside of yourself because of itself or because of yourself? I always suggest to people, if they want to give a present that they would like to receive, something they want. Not something they think that the friend who they're giving the present to would like. Whether the person who they're giving the present to even accepts it or wants it or enjoys it at all, it doesn't matter. Always we are caring for ourselves. We are giving things for ourselves. When I give people things, I give them things that I think I would like. I went to visit my sister and I bought her a little doll. And there was a whole pile of them on the counter. And one was the Grinch. The Grinch who saved Christmas. And so I bought this green skinned monster with his Santa cap holding a reindeer in his arm. And he's a Grinch that saved Christmas. He looks ugly. He looks just like an ogre. In fact, that's what the ogre looked like. Remember, green? And so I brought this to my sister. And she wasn't looking too carefully that day, but she took the Grinch in her hands, and she felt him. And she says, "This is terrible. He has no nose. He has not this and that and so on." I said, "May, this is the Grinch that saved Christmas." "Oh, that's okay. Then he's all right." See, all you have to do is know some lovely little thing. But I explained it to her. And then I visited my daughter-in-law, and I brought her a little puppy dog, a little cuddly puppy dog. And I said, "This is for you, Leslie." And she said, "Oh, that's so nice of you." She said, "But I have so many stuffed puppies and stuffed animals around." She says, "I feel ashamed to take it." And so she offered it for somebody else. But you see, we give because we want to give. We don't give because somebody needs it or somebody wants it. That's not caring. It's not caring when you give a child a piece of bread because he's hungry. It's caring because you give the child a piece of bread because you know you'd enjoy a piece of bread too. And you say, "Well, that's selfish." Oh, no, no. That's really what life is all about. Life is all about caring for ourselves first. Caring for ourselves first. Now, when you are caring for yourself first, do you care what other people have or what they don't have? No. If you are going to go to a restaurant and you say, "Oh, shall I go to a quick fast food place, or shall I go to a classy place, or shall I go to the top of the mark?" And I would pay at the fast food place, I would pay $2 for a hamburger. At the nice place, I would pay $5 for a hamburger. And at the top of the mark, I'd pay $10 for a hamburger. It would all be the same hamburger, maybe not as good as the one that fast food had. But what would you do? Would you say to yourself, "I'm going to the fast food place and have a hamburger for $2. And I'm going to take the $8 that I would pay at this high-priced place for the same hamburger, and I'm going to give those $8 to the poor in Shlubabadam." And do you give the $8 to the poor in Shlubabadam? No. You don't even know where Shlubabadam is. You don't know how to get the $8 there. So what do? You go and have a wonderful hamburger. Now, if you eat your hamburger in the fast food place, you're sitting there and eating it. It's not bad. It's a pleasant place. The people are nice there. You go into a nice restaurant, and you have linen, and you have knives and forks and so forth, which you don't need to eat a hamburger. But then you get your hamburger, and you sit there in a very pleasant atmosphere. Then you go top of the mark, the circling restaurant over the hotel, and a different view every couple of minutes. And you pay $10 for your hamburger, and it's the same hamburger, and you eat it, but you feel wonderful. You feel glorious. You look around and you say, "Nice place, nice place." Ellen and I had the choice in Taiwan of going to 3 different restaurants to take our guest. And we looked at all 3, and they're very nice. The lower restaurant was a hotel restaurant, which was very pleasant. They had lots and lots and lots to eat, and there's all buffet, and take everything you want and all you want, one price. We could have gone on the street and paid maybe, let's say, a penny for a meal like that. Go into this hotel restaurant and pay maybe $5 for the food. Or we could go up into the circular thing up on top of the restaurant and eat there and pay $100 for the food. Well, we went to the restaurant on top. And of course, it was $100, yes, but it was like $20 our money, which wasn't bad. So we went to this lovely restaurant up there. And what happened in that restaurant? We felt great. We felt wonderful. The young couple that we brought with us, they felt wonderful. Yo-Yo and Lila. And they were just wonderful. And as we all sat there, we looked around. And in this entire circular restaurant, we were the only people there. So we had the entire staff of waiters and waitresses to wait on us. And Yo-Yo and Lila said, "Wow, wow, wow, this is great." And they said, "We're going to really get going and having the Chinese and the Taiwanese government sponsor and back your programs." Well, now, they started moving on that. But budget changes came along and they made a few changes. They haven't quit. We've contacted them since and they haven't quit. But you see, we cared. Ellen and I cared. We could have taken them to any of the other restaurants, but we took them to this, the finest. And I think they really appreciated it. They really thought it was wonderful. And they gave us their biggest smiles and their biggest happiness. When you care, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing everything for yourself. And when you do it, then you like it. You're not doing it to impress somebody else. We didn't go up there to impress somebody else. We had no idea what it's like. We just knew that there was a nice restaurant on top there. But when we got up there, we too were impressed. We too were delighted. We went there because we cared. Now you have the opportunity to do something very important in your life. You have the opportunity to care about yourself. As of the moment, you don't care about yourself. As of the moment, you don't care about yourself as much as you could. Do you ever use the words, "I can't"? That's not caring about yourself. Do you ever use the words, "I don't want to"? That's not caring about yourself. Do you ever use the words that say somebody else is not very nice? That's not caring about yourself. What are you looking at? Do you ever do anything that you are not happy doing? Proud of or happy of or enjoying doing? Do you ever do anything? If you do, you don't care about yourself. Because if you cared about yourself, you would only give yourself the best. Now, you have this beautiful vase, beautiful vase, and it is cut china, cut crystal, just glorious. And it's faceted and beautiful. And you have just finished polishing it. So you bring it out and you put it on the table. And you put one rose in it. And you put candle around it, and you're all set for a lovely dinner. You're giving it your best. And so then you come in your old work clothes and you sit down at the table, and you eat a hamburger, and here you have this crystal vase with the one orchid and the candles glowing. Now, is that caring for yourself? Yes, it is. Whatever you do is right. Whatever makes you happy is right. Did you ever have a person slow down enough to have a good time? "Hey, wait, wait, smell the roses." You don't say to him, "Put on your fine clothing and smell the roses." You don't say, "Hey, get out of your limousine and smell the roses." You just say, "Smell the roses. Take time to smell the roses. Take time to care." And just like having a lunch, you come in from outside working in the garden, You have your garden clothes on. You're dirty. And you put a rose in the vase. And you put two candles on the table. And you sit down in your grubbies. And you eat this wonderful hamburger or whatever it is you're eating. Would you ever do that for yourself?
Yes.
Do you care enough about yourself to make everything pleasant as far as you can? You're going to go back in the garden. You're not going to change. You're not going to get out of your grubbies and put on your tuxedo or your beautiful dress and then eat and then go back into your grubbies to work in the garden. You're just going to come in and tunk, you're not in your grubbies anymore. You don't see yourself. You see the candle. You see the vase. You see the rose. When you like yourself enough, when you care about yourself, you will do all these sort of things for yourself. Now, when you vacuum the floor, who are you vacuuming the floor for? Is somebody else's house? Is it for them? Or is it your house? Is it for you? Is it in your bedroom? Is it for you? Oftentimes, when we vacuum for ourselves, we go, you know, and we vacuum for somebody else, we go very carefully. Why give more for another than you give for yourself? Why give less to another than you give yourself? Always give your best, and you will always be happy with yourself. Always dust in places where no one will see, because then you will be happy with yourself. Give your best. Care a lot. Nobody will ever see the dust on top of the table or on top of the door or whatever. But you know it's there. Take the minute to care. Take the minute to give your very best in everything that you do. And when you do that, then you will really care. When I care, it shows right in here. When I care, it shows. When I pick up Snuggles, do I pick up, come here, you little rat, you know? If you got a little water on you, you just have nothing to you. You just be a little toothpick, you know. But the minute you look at Snuggles, he says, I like me. I'm a nice guy. I'm happy as can be. You can't be anything but happy when you pick him up. And when Snuggles takes his paws and does his silly little things with it, you cannot do anything but laugh and joy with him. Well, now, what about you? Can you do your silly little things and be so bubbly and so filled with joy like Snuggles is? Yeah. When Button comes and takes his paw and touches you, he doesn't want you to pet yourself. He wants you to pet him. He's creating you as his slave, as his person, as his personal petter. Last night I was sound asleep, and he crawled into bed and got next to me there, and he just sat there, upright. And I had to pet him, and then after I pet him, then he laid down, and then he snuggled down, and then I stopped petting him. I wanted to sleep. And so he takes his paw, he says, don't stop. You know, I should pet him while he sleeps, you know, and then I should stay awake. Well, I mean, he's a pretty cool dog. He cares about himself, and it shows. But he sleeps, and then when I stop doing something, then he wakes up and reminds me that I should keep on doing it. But this is what love is all about. This is what caring is all about. When I care, it shows. When Button cares, it shows. And is Button getting into bed to make me comfortable, to lie next to me to warm me up, or to warm himself up? I mean, he's not stupid. You see, why should we be stupid? We can be loving, gentle, kind, and wonderful too. But when I care, it shows. When anyone cares, it shows. When you care, it shows. And it pays to be careful and have it show at all times. And I love you, so show it for yourself first. Have a great day.